Happening right now, discussions on new pay and bonus proposals for hundreds of teachers, bus drivers, and other Wake County school staff. We explain the plans and how quickly they would go into effect if the vote passes tonight. Then, some people tricked into pet leases and having their dogs and cats taken away from them. What's being done to stop the controversial practice?
From winter to summer in just 1 week, see our timing of near record warmth and our next chance for rain.
Well, the sun is setting on another beautiful day as temperatures continue to warm up. This is a live look at North Hills and that sky, even with the clouds, looking pretty good.
Gorgeous.
Hello, everyone. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Before we enjoy too much of the nice weather, we do have a small chance of rain on the way. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center with what we can expect, Kat.
It's going to be a little bit cooler tomorrow. High temperatures in the upper 50s and a few sprinkles. It's not going to be heavy rain. It's not going to be enough rain to really wash away the pollen either. As for the morning commute, 8 a.m., it's about a 20% chance for rain. It would be late morning into the early afternoon when we have the best chance for this light rain or sprinkles. And Futurecast has really been concentrating on the southern half of our viewing area for the best chance of a few of these sprinkles during the early afternoon. By 5 o'clock, that chance for rain down to about 20% for the evening commute. So I don't think either commute tomorrow will be a washout, but it may be just enough rain where you're glad you have your raincoat or your umbrella. A big temperature rebound is on the way, though. We're going to talk more about your weekend planner coming up.
Okay, Kat, we'll talk to you soon. They got some big bonuses lined up. $3,000 are possible now for school bus drivers in Wake County Public Schools.
Tonight, the Board of Education is expected to vote on this measure as families and students across the district feel the impact of staffing shortages. WRL's Aaron Thomas has spent hours following these developments and joins us now live in Cary. Aaron?
You know, Deborah, with our reporting, we have been following this ongoing issue of bus shortages for several months now. A vote could happen within the next few minutes. In fact, we're hearing from several educators on why the Board of Education should support these bonuses and pay increases. Tonight, I did speak with Mr. Mark Strickland. He's the chief of facilities and operations for the district, and he tells me that about 120 students are impacted anytime a bus driver calls out. And these perfect attendance bonuses are now under consideration to help recruit and retain. As it stands, Wake school bus drivers are eligible for two $500 bonuses for each semester. The Wake Board of Education is expected to approve an additional perfect attendance bonus of $200 a month, which breaks down to $2,000 a year for these drivers. And Strickland says that such measures are necessary considering how tough it is to fill these bus driver positions.
So we're looking to recruit new bus drivers to bring them in the mix because we're so short. But at the same time, we want to take the necessary steps to retain our existing bus drivers. And this is an opportunity to provide them additional pay throughout the year.
So here's the deal. We're going to step back inside. This is an ongoing meeting, keeping our eyes out on a possible vote for these bonuses for school bus drivers, as well as a possible vote for increased pay for those educators with advanced degrees. Deborah?
All right. Let us know what you hear. Aaron Thomas, live in Cary. Thank you, Aaron.
I'm Mark Boyle in the Live Center following some information coming out of State Street in downtown Raleigh. Take a look at your screen right here. Sky 5 was overseen when investigators arrived, found a fire at a home there. This home, five people live there or so. We have that video right now to show you. Investigators are able to put the flames out. They're focusing their attention in the kitchen area. Now, we are being told one person being treated right now for smoke inhalation. It's unclear if they'll be transported or not, but they are trying to figure out exactly what caused this fire in the first place. Things are under control here this evening. Back to you.
Glad everybody got out, Mark. Thank you. New details tonight about a homicide investigation after a body was found in a burn pit outside of a Cary home. In the last few hours, police identified that person who was killed as 34-year-old Cecily Walker Scott. At last check, police were still collecting evidence from that scene on Dorset Drive. 35-year-old Ian DeLauder was identified as the homeowner. He was found with a self-inflicted gunshot wound and is in critical condition in the hospital. WRL has learned that since 2018, Cary police have been called to the home for various things 21 total times.
A PE teacher and football coach at Southeast Raleigh Magnet High School is accused of sending sexually explicit Instagram messages to a student. This afternoon, Armando Brown faced a judge for the first time. The 27-year-old is charged with attempting a sex act and indecent liberties with a student. Prosecutors say Brown messaged the girl through Instagram, asking her questions about a sex act and trying to arrange a meetup at his home. The executive director of child abuse prevention group Safe Child says cases like this are a reminder to parents to monitor their children's use of technology.
I recommend that we proactively have these conversations. You want to inform and empower your children before anything like that might happen, so they know what to do when something doesn't just seem quite right.
Brown resigned from the school system Friday. In court, his attorney told the judge Brown maintains his innocence. Right now, he's being held in jail on a $50,000 bond.
The parking lot at a North Raleigh apartment complex turned into a crime scene this morning. Sky Fly 5 over Autumn Point Apartments. It's on Bremer Hall Court around 11 a.m. Police say they found a man there who was shot. That man is expected to be okay. You can see a good portion of that area, though, that parking lot blocked off with police tape, a handful of evidence markers scattered there on the ground. Police have not named the shooter.
We've all heard of leasing a car, but how about leasing a dog or cat? Pet leasing has become controversial, with some owners having their pets repossessed. Today, a bill to ban the practice cleared the committee, the Commerce Committee, that is, in the General Assembly. WRL's Joe Fisher reports.
This purebred Pomeranian is listed online for more than $4,000. Financing is an option, but new legislation is aiming to end predatory pet leasing to protect pets and owners. The bill says the practice is on the rise.
They came across a family who had bought a pet, or thought they had bought a pet from a pet shop, only to find out later that the contract they had signed was actually a lease. And they actually did not own the pet at all.
Representative Wesley Harris of Mecklenburg County is sponsoring the bill that says people are getting tricked into monthly payments with outrageous fees to eventually own the pet. House Bill 226 would prohibit leases and payments that don't result in pet ownership and make it illegal for pets to be repossessed.
That's not good for the family. That's not good for the animal.
The bill would still allow leasing of purebred dogs for breeding, as well as service animals and pets used for entertainment. The American Kennel Club supports the restrictions, saying, quote, AKC opposes predatory leasing practices that victimize potential owners, undermine a lifetime commitment to a pet, and do not confer the rights and responsibilities associated with legal ownership of a pet.
Like, this has happened? Because I promise you, I'd never heard of this until I read this bill.
It's more of a preventative action, in the sense that this does happen, and it's capable, and more importantly, it's capable of happening.
I'm Joe Fisher, WREL News, Raleigh.
I had never heard of this either. Even though the pet leasing bill cleared the Commerce Committee, it still needs to make it through two other committees before a vote on the House floor.
North Carolina's attorney general has sued a realty company Five on Your Side has warned you about. We've told you about MV Realty and how they offer homeowners cash to sign homeowner benefit agreements. But people don't realize these agreements lock them into a 40-year contract to use MV Realty as their listing agent, or pay a heavy penalty to break that contract. The AG's lawsuit says MV violated several laws, including bans on unfair and deceptive practices. Happening right now, residents in Roanoke Rapids are looking for some answers on why the chief of police is on administrative leave. A council meeting is underway at this hour, which will include a closed-door session. Earlier this month, Chief B.L. Martin and Captain Jamie Hardy were placed on administrative leave. However, the city has not released the details as to why. We have a crew at the meeting, though, pushing for the details on why the two leaders within that department are on leave.
St. Augustine University and Wake Tech have strengthened their partnership to offer even more opportunities to students. Wake Tech students eligible for course credits in criminal justice and business management are now able to take those courses at St. Aug. St. Aug is one of many schools that partners with Wake Tech to offer students a path from community college to a four-year university.
It has now been almost a month since four Americans were violently kidnapped in Mexico.
Coming up, we speak with an attorney for the survivors drivers about how their lives will never be the same.
Plus, a big step forward in making sports betting legal in North Carolina. Hear what's next and how likely it is to get the legislation passed after the break.
A North Carolina man who survived a violent kidnapping in Mexico is home recovering from the trauma.
It has now been 3 weeks since Eric Williams and three friends left the Carolinas en route to Mexico for a medical procedure. Just after crossing into Mexico, the group was kidnapped and two of them killed.
Latavia McGee and Eric Williams survived the ordeal. WREL's Destiny Patterson explains Williams is home and safe, but life will never be the same.
Eight surgeries.
And the donations for my speedy recovery.
3 weeks in a hospital bed. And still, not enough time to make sense of what they're calling a nightmare.
He's to be expected the same way any person would be that has experienced a situation as traumatic as he's experienced.
Williams was one of four Americans brutally kidnapped after crossing the U.S.-Mexico border on March 3rd. But he and Latavia Washington McGee were the only survivors.
Not just about Mr. Williams and Ms. Washington. There were two other persons whose families are also in pain as a result of what happened.
Williams and Washington are still in the hospital, so one of their attorneys, Jason Keith, agreed to sit down with me for a Zoom interview. He says this is about helping their families in the best way he can.
What happens next? Now he's in the hospital. What happens after this when it comes to the legal part of all of this?
Trying to find some means of getting some money to help pay for the extensive amount of medical expenses that all parties have had to already pay and that they will have to pay in the future.
The details of what happened during the attack are still not clear, but we do know it'll take time for everyone involved to heal.
It's going to be recovery. Everything that he's experienced and they've experienced is going to be a day-by-day process.
As his clients focus on getting better, Keith says he'll spend his time getting justice and holding those responsible accountable. Destiny Patterson, WREL News.
And that attorney says Williams has been able to see his family, and he expects that his clients will also need therapy following this incident.
A Wake County mental health facility, lauded for its comprehensive care, is breaking up its provider team. Mental health advocates showed up at Wakebrook Tuesday afternoon, urging the county and UNC Health to work out a contract resolution. Wakebrook provides inpatient and outpatient mental health and substance abuse services. It's become a model for helping law enforcement find care for people instead of taking them to jail or an emergency room. Mental health advocates don't want to break up a vital community resource over a money dispute.
It's a very integrated model of care that works for the patients with dignity and respect for the patient. I think that will be lost because another cheaper alternative is not going to provide that level of service.
UNC's contracts are set to expire over the next year. Wake County spends close to $14 million a year on Wakebrook and commissioned a study to find a more efficient mental health service model.
Well, this afternoon, legalizing sports betting in North Carolina passed a small group of lawmakers. A House committee approved the legislation today, and that's good news for those pushing to make sports betting legal. It's important to keep in mind this is a small step in a very lengthy process. WREL investigative sports reporter Brian Murphy joins us now via Zoom to explain where this issue stands. Brian, you were in that committee meeting today. How did it go?
Well, it went well for supporters of the bill. They were able not only to get the bill through committee, but they defeated two amendments, one that would have prohibited the use of credit cards to fund these sports gambling accounts, and the second would have removed college sports gambling from the bill. Mm-hmm. Both of those amendments were defeated, and supporters were able to move the bill on.
What's next in this process?
Well, it's moving pretty fast. Tomorrow, it'll head to the Finance Committee and then the House Judiciary Committee. If those two committees pass the bill, it could be on the House floor as soon as Tuesday of next week.
Wow. Similar legislation failed last year by a single vote. Does it seem like more people are on board with sports betting this time around?
It does. There's been a big changeover in the House of Representatives, and there are 55 sponsors of this bill. That's almost all the votes that you need to pass it in the 120-member House. But there is fierce opposition to this bill. I expect a lot of amendments, a lot of proposed changes, and a lot of opposition and debate against this bill before it gets, you know, passed into law.
So even though we could perhaps see this on the floor next week, it's going to go through amendments and lots of votes before we get to some kind of final agreement that everybody on both sides can agree to.
That's right. These two committees, I suspect we'll see more amendments proposed, perhaps some adopted. And then when it gets to the House floor, lawmakers can also propose amendments there. It was last year on the House floor that college sports got taken out of the bill. So a long way to go, but it may happen in a very short period of time.
WRAL Sports investigative journalist Brian Murphy, thanks so much for your time.
Happening right now, Fuquay's Arena could become the next community to develop one of these social districts that keep popping up in all of our areas, cities and towns. That means people would be allowed to walk in designated downtown areas with alcoholic drinks from participating businesses. The social district in Fuquay's Arena would be two different areas. This is a look at the first one here and another section of downtown. Commissioners considering this proposal during their meeting that just got underway a few minutes ago. If approved, the social districts should be up and running in just a few months. We'll see what happens.
I feel like this would be a really nice night to be out eating outdoors and strolling through downtowns. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at this nice warm-up we're experiencing.
You said it exactly right, Deborah. I mean, I think in the days ahead, it's just going to be that kind of weather, aside from tomorrow with that small chance for rain, where you're just going to want to get outside, go out and about, get some ice cream in the evenings, especially on Friday with that 86 degree high. The normal high this time of year, 65. We were right on par today. Looking ahead, we've got 3 days in a row with temperatures in the 80s, even staying in the mid 70s through the weekend. So not only does it feel like spring, but getting a little bit of a taste of summer by Friday. And that may have you thinking about the beach. Check out this gorgeous sunset, a live look from the Beaufort Hotel in Beaufort there. I mean, just a beautiful evening. If you're starting to think about the beach with this warmer weather, maybe taking a day trip or a weekend trip, remember that the coast, because of the cooler water, it doesn't warm up quite as much. So Friday, when we're in the mid 80s, we would expect the beach temperatures to be closer to the mid 70s at Topsail, Beaufort, places like that. It will be much cooler, though, in the water, not quite swimming weather. While you can still certainly lay on the beach in weather like this, the swimming temperature, the water temp in the 50s still at the beach, so a little chilly for that. This weekend, if you're staying in town, though, it remains quite warm. 86 on Friday, that's certainly one of the highlights. On Saturday, we could see some scattered showers, and I'll get to that timeline in just a minute. Still hitting 80, though, and not a washout. 76 degrees, dry weather expected. Sunday, overall, looks like a great weekend. We've got two systems here on satellite and radar. The first system, this wave of some showers that will break up some as it moves our way tomorrow, just bringing a chance of a sprinkle. Saturday system does bring a better chance for rain compared to tomorrow's sprinkles. Still, it doesn't look like a washout. Future cast showing we do have this backdoor cold front dropping in from the north Friday evening. Can't rule out a stray shower toward the Virginia line with that, but the main event's still to our west, and you can begin to see it moving in late in the morning hours, perhaps into the afternoon. We'll watch for an isolated storm with temperatures that warm in the 80s, but by dinner time, the bulk of the rain pushing to the east. So this doesn't look like an all-day rain. We don't yet have high-resolution model data available. After all, it's only Tuesday, and we're talking about Saturday, so I encourage you to check in for updates throughout the week, but I don't think your Saturday is going to be washed out entirely. You may just have to dodge inside for a couple hours. Tonight, we're back above freezing. 37 in Roxboro, as well as Rocky Mount. 41 in Durham, Raleigh, and Fayetteville. 40 degrees in Southern Pines. It's cool tonight. You'll want a jacket tomorrow, but it's not going to be as frigid as it has been the past few mornings with the freezing and frosty conditions. Tomorrow, we do stay in the 50s for much of the day. High temperatures in the upper 50s, though. Some of our southeastern counties could be in the 60s. Not a bad idea to send the kids to school with a raincoat or just a hoodie. It's a very light rain, so I don't think a big umbrella is going to be needed for most. Once we get to the weekend, we've got our big warm-up coming. That will come with some windy conditions, but it's that strong wind that helps temperatures climb into the 80s. Next week, looking unsettled to kick off the week, but that should help with some of the pollen.
Well, that'd be good. Yeah. Thanks, Kat.
A new place for you to take the kids and have some fun. Let them release some energy.
One of the most popular museums around here has redesigned and expanded one of its main exhibits. Ahead, the changes at the Museum of Life and Science, sure to be a hit with young visitors.
And sometimes you want to catch up on the news, but you're not in front of a TV. Maybe you're driving. You can't be looking at the screen on your phone. You can listen to this newscast as a podcast. The WRAL News Daily podcast features entire newscasts beginning to end, morning, noon, evening, and the 7 p.m. show. all in podcast form. You can find those, the WRAL News Daily in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. This evening, it was a big night. WRAL's 5 on Your Side connected more than 700 viewers with tax experts for the annual Tax Pros on Call.
The experts were on hand for 3 hours to answer any and all of your tax filing questions. Best part of all, it was free. We know many of you still have questions ahead of April 18th. We do have additional resources on WRAL.com on how you can get tax help for free or at least at a reduced cost. Durham's popular Museum of Life and Science has a new attraction.
The newly redesigned and expanded Play to Learn exhibit officially opened today. This is for the little guys. Museum gave us some video so we could check out all the fun they were having. There's a space for gentle play, so for the littlest of the kids out there, little guys, and then areas for some of the older kids, as you can see, to build things and learn about lights and shadows and plenty of fun exercises.
Can
for
I play
to enjoy.
Too?
Yeah,
that
really.
Like
and
a
you know,
blast.
I'll tell you what, when it gets really hot outside,
that's the place
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, you need a little air conditioning and have some fun with the kids. The Canes still cashing in on the success of last month's Stadium Series game.
Yeah, the Canes are selling some of the banners you saw around the city promoting the game held outside at Carter-Finley Stadium. They were on utility poles in North Hills, along Glenwood Avenue, Hillsboro, and Fayetteville Streets. Visit Raleigh said the game and the weekend events generated more than $20 million. If you're interested in buying a banner, visit the team store at PNC Arena. This is a live look at Dick's Park in Raleigh. At this time next week, you're going to see the stages coming together and banners going up. Today, R&D Brewing announced a new brew made exclusively for the festival.
That view's making me want to sip one. It's called the Dreamsicle Festival Brew and will only be available at the festival. Dreamville is at Dick's Park April 1st and 2nd. Organizers closed the big field yesterday to get things set up. Tickets already sold out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
See you at 10 and 11.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.